Acts chapter 4. We're going to continue to read verses concerning boldness. Let me have you go back to verse 23 and we'll read up to the verse. But if you'll remember, this is the same story where the disciples begin to face some persecution for the cause of Christ. We already read back in verse 13, Peter and John were detained by the Sanhedrin, questioned and threatened by the Sanhedrin concerning their faith in Christ and their boldness in witnessing for Christ. Verse 23, they finally let them go. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And so we see that the disciples here are praying and asking God for boldness. So let me give you number five. Pray for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. Now this ought to be part of your prayer list, your personal prayer list. There ought to be some things that you ask the Lord for on a daily basis. I think one of the things that you ought to ask the Lord for is for boldness, to be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I pray, and by the way, I spend most of my time, prayer time, praying for others. I just do. But I don't think it's wrong to pray and ask God for some things for you. And sometimes we're very selfish in what we ask, but in this case we have a Bible principle that teaches us that one of the wise things that we can ask of the Lord is that God would grant us boldness. And so I pray, Lord, grant me boldness, that I may be a witness for you, that I may speak up for you when I ought to. Before I left my office this morning, one of the things I prayed was, God, I'm gonna mount the pulpit for Sunday school and Sunday morning, again Sunday night, Lord willing, and Lord, help me to preach God's word with boldness. And listen, we have nothing to apologize for. The proclaiming of the truth is not anything you ought to have to apologize for. And when you're witnessing, ask God to give you boldness. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So somewhere close to the top of your prayer list, I would put the word boldness and ask God to give you it every single day. Pray for that daily in your life. Now, with that prayer thought in mind, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 because the next point ties in with this. But let me have you go there, and then I'll give you the sixth point or the sixth Bible principle concerning gaining boldness in your life. Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll look at verse number 18, and then I'm going to tie these two together. But Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me. Now Paul's writing the church of Ephesus, and he's encouraging them in verse 18 to pray. And then in verse 19, he said, by the way, while you're praying, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So let me give you two ideas here. Number five, I said that you ought to pray and ask God that he would grant you personally boldness. But you know, Paul didn't just pray for boldness for himself. He enlisted other people and asked them to pray for him that he would be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a great thing that you can do. You say, preacher, honest with you, I do struggle with this, and there's something about maybe my personality or whatever it is that just makes it hard for me sometimes to speak up as I ought to, and I do have a real need in this area of my life concerning boldness. I'm going to give you one of the things that I did when I was struggling with that in my life, and I was trying to get over the hump of that in my life. I not only added that to my personal prayer list, but I went and I located five prayer warriors that at that time attended Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about the kind of people that I knew got a hold of God, I knew were strong in their prayer life. And I went to these five people, and I was, by the way, a young man at that time. And most of these, by the way, were senior saints here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe that four of the five, if my memory holds correct, is in heaven now. But I went to them, and I asked them to pray for me. And every one of them started to stop me and said, Jerry, we already pray for you. And I said, I know, but I need you to pray for some specific thing for my life. And so they listened to me, and I told them, I'm struggling in this area of being a bold witness for the Lord. And I am adding it to my prayer list and asking God to help me to be bolder, but I need to enlist some prayer support. And you know, that's what Paul did here. He said, hey, I want you all to pray. By the way, while you're praying, put me on your prayer list. And not just put me on your prayer list, but he was very specific in what he asked them to pray for him about. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me just enlist your help. Since that time, like I said, those prayer warriors, some of them are in heaven. One of the, I think, heartaches that I have experienced, and I think our church has lost some in the past two or three years, we've lost some wonderful prayer warriors. They're in heaven. They've run their course. They've finished their course. Can I say this? If you want to pick up the mantle in some area here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it might be a wonderful thing for you to say, you know what, preacher, you're right. In the last 10 years, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we've lost some tremendous prayer warriors. It's time for me to become one of those prayer warriors. We have to replace them. I sorrow when I see somebody pass off the scene because we don't want to say goodbye. I don't really sorrow because of where they went because they're in a better place. But I'm going to tell you this. One of the things that I often grieve on, and maybe this sounds very selfish, it probably is, but I grieve at a funeral of one of our senior saints is that I realize that I've lost some prayer support. Now, maybe not. I don't know how all this works. Maybe they just have more of an opportunity to speak to the Lord personally about these things. So it might be a good thing. I don't know. But I do want to encourage you. If there's one area here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that we need some folks just to say, you know what, preacher, maybe I can't do some things, but I can pray. And I'm going to take this matter seriously. And I'm going to become one of those prayer warriors that this church needs. By the way, I'm going to pray for your preacher. And I'm going to pray for my preacher every day. And what I'm saying is this. I'm not just trying to enlist it for me. I'm telling you, if you struggle in this area of your life, I would go to some folks and I would say, I need boldness. And would you please specifically pray for me in this area of my life that God would grant me boldness to speak up when I need to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that a lot of the turnaround in my life in this area happened because of the prayers of some godly people that interceded for me in this area of my life. You know, folks, listen, don't be afraid to go to somebody and trust them with a prayer request of some area of your life that you need help in. I mean, don't be afraid to do that. You know somebody prays for you already. Don't be afraid to come to them sometimes with a failing in your life or a shortfall in your life and say, I'll be honest with you, I need help in this area. Would you please pray as I do battle in this area that God would help me to grow and be as I ought to be? And I think it's a wonderful thing to enlist God's people in prayer. So I want to encourage you, enlist them, but not just asking them to pray for you, but to pray specifically that you would be bold in your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful example that Paul was. Hey, it worked for Paul. Did you study his life? The guy was pretty bold. I wonder how many of those prayer saints, those prayer warriors in Ephesus was a result of those moments when he was probably plagued as we were. Paul was human too, with human frailty and human fears. I wonder how many times the prayers of God's people stood him up and caused him to speak up when maybe he wouldn't have. And so what a wonderful thought is. Now, we're right there in Acts 4. And by the way, if you've noticed already, well, we were. Let me get you back there in Acts chapter 4. You'll notice that three of the principles that we're going to teach on boldness comes from this one chapter. We saw, first of all, in Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John perceived, remember we talked about spending time with Jesus, and then We read in verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." We see the importance of a prayer request. Now look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what?" Now, do you see that next great principle there? We see spending time with Christ. We see enlisting the prayers of God's people. And we see that boldness came as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me talk to you about that and see if I can explain that. Because a lot of times, because of the, sometimes, unfortunately, some of the wrong doctrinal teaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God, we have a lot of different ideas floating around. And let me just say this. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you were truly saved, the Bible teaches us that at that time we become indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, He may indwell you, but that doesn't mean that He immediately controls you. Being filled with the Spirit of God does not mean that you get more of the Holy Spirit. He's not a gas or a liquid. He's a person. He's either there or He's not. When you get saved, you have Him. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is talking about when we take some time to empty ourselves of two things, self and sin. And you know what, folks? You can't fill something that's already full. And a lot of times we have to empty ourselves from time to time of self and sin. Lord, get me out of the way so that you can control my life. Lord, purify my life and help me to get the sin out of my life, so that your Holy Spirit's not hindered in working in my life. And then to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, remember, Jesus reminded his disciples that they would receive power to be witnesses. Here's the phrase: after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Before they were to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission, they were commanded to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The fullness of the Spirit is not receiving the Holy Spirit. This is two different things. You receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved, but you seek from that time on to be filled with the Spirit. And let me remind you, it's a command to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so that, again, ought to be something that we pray for and we seek. Because as the Holy Spirit of God is given more and more control of our life, a byproduct of that is boldness. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Listen to me real carefully. If you are plagued with the spirit of fear, and you really are being crippled in this area of your life, one of the things that you desperately need to do is to begin to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're fearful and you lack boldness, it's probably because you've not sought the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Now, I'm a Baptist. Are you looking right up here? I'm a Baptist. I'm not charismatic. You won't find a charismatic bone in my body. I'm not part of that. I have no interest in that. But this is Bible doctrine. This is Bible doctrine, folks. And it's right for us to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You can try to do the work of God in your power. You can do the work of God in the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit. You can try to witness in your power, and you're going to find out you're pretty feeble. Or you can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting? I don't have time to teach this, and we taught it not that long ago here. But we talk about the Great Commission and the great emphasis, and I'm all for it, on the Great Commission as we go to Matthew chapter 28, other places, and in our fundamental circles. Honestly, folks, almost a rediscovery of the Great Commissions is what energized the fundamental Baptist movement in the 60s and 70s, and caused people to realize, hey, just sitting here in the church and praying and hoping that some lost person walks in the door, that's not God's plan. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we got that. We kind of relearned that. We decided to reincorporate that. And because of that, churches started growing. People started going out and taking the gospels into the highways and byways. Soul winning, door-to-door soul winning, track distribution. People start buying buses and bussing people in. It just what? Listen, because we got that. But wait a minute. Let's not diminish that command. But let's remember this. After Jesus gave that command on Mount Olivet, He told them, first of all, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry. And folks, a lot of times what's happening is we're running out in our own power trying to obey the Great Commission. The honest truth is we have not taken the time to get serious about this matter of emptying ourselves of self and sin, getting thoroughly and completely right with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then seeking and asking the Holy Spirit. This isn't some hocus pocus magical thing. This is just simply asking the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, surrendering to His control. Now, Lord, I'm going to, this would be the typical prayer I would pray before I would go soul winning. Dear God, first of all, I'd spend some time in personal confession. Then I would spend some time also emptying myself of self and saying, God, Jerry Ross is going to get away today and mess this up. Lord, help me not to be about me. Help me to forget me. Help me to die to self. But then begin to ask God to fill you. Now, Holy Spirit of God, You live inside of me. You have from the day that I received Jesus. But God, I know there's times I've grieved You, and there's even been times that I've probably quenched You. And Lord, I want to You to know that I need You right now. Lord, as best I can, I've emptied myself of self and sin. I plead now, please, that You would fill me as I go out. I'm going to go witness. I'm going to go stand in front of people that are on their way to hell. And I've got to have boldness, and I've got to have Holy Spirit power. If I'm going to be the right kind of witness, Lord, dear God, please, I want to be a vessel full of God, not full of me. And Lord, please, help me as I go forward. And that's what it is. It's prayerfully asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and to control you. And to listen, bus workers, don't go running out there trying to do what you're doing and without spending some time before God, getting Holy Spirit anointing and Holy Spirit fullness before you go out there. Don't do that. I mean, listen, you can't entertain a bunch of pet sins and spend a week messing around with things you oughtn't to and then tromp off into that condition and think that you're going to, in a powerful way, be able to affect a lost world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, isn't it interesting? So many of these principles that we read about and study that have to do with boldness really has to do with our spiritual condition before God. You know, we reviewed that. I think I skipped number four when we were doing our review about purging our life from sinful, wicked habits. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion. And so, why, preacher? Why is it so important? You know, you make a big deal about this, that, and the other, and don't have this sin and stay clean before God. Listen, it's not just for you. It's for that person that you're going to witness to. It's for the ability to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? I don't try to just be right with God for my sake. I try to be right with God so that God can use me to bring the gospel to someone else and it'll be delivered and empowered and I can have influence and effect in my life. Folks, I can preach here 10:30 hour, you know, just a little bit of time. I can walk this pulpit, you know, probably just about an hour or 55 minutes from here, walk to this pulpit and try to preach full of self and full of sin. And yes, with the Holy Spirit inside of me, but not controlling me. And you know what? They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. They that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is too important. Sunday school teachers aren't in here, but if I could have a quick meeting with them, you know what I'd probably told them this morning? Are you right with God before you walk in before those students? This isn't a game. This isn't a game. You hold precious lives in your hand. Are you truly, thoroughly, completely right with God? You know, a very fair question to ask somebody, especially someone that's about to walk into a teaching situation with an open Bible, is, are you right now filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you right now filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, we ought to be more conscious of that in our lives. And again, those of you that are taking the challenge that we've presented in our spring program, and some of you are doing extra visitation, and we have some row captains. And listen, folks, let me just give you a great key to this. It's not going to work if you don't get serious in this matter of seeking the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life. And so these are wonderful things and real things that we need to take a look at and deal with in our Christian life. Now let me have you go to Acts chapter number 18. Does it surprise you that a lot of the Bible principles about boldness comes from the book of Acts? It shouldn't. Those of you that know about the book of Acts and the energy and the excitement and the impact of the New Testament church, it is birthed in this. Isn't it interesting that what you see, one of the attributes of the New Testament church is that the Christians were bold in their presentation of the gospel, bold in their missionary efforts, bold in their preaching, public preaching, bold in their personal witnessing. And well, one of the things that you'll see here is the importance of the Word of God. And I want to show you in Acts chapter 18, and look, if you will, in verse number 24, we read something about Apollos here. And here's another preacher that God used in a great way in several of the places that Paul preached. We see Apollos also is used. And there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, Apollos was very bold in his presentation. And he was bold in his presentation, I think, for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that I want to point out in verse number 24 is the Bible says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. Now, we see that even a man that was mighty in the Scriptures needed to be taught something that he didn't understand here. So I like a man who knows the Bible, but also is not afraid to learn some more about the Bible. You know, folks, never reach the point where you think that you know everything there is to know about the Word of God. And always be approachable if there might be something that you may believe to be scriptural that you may have proved to you from the Scriptures isn't scriptural, or maybe something that you haven't learned completely. And one of the things that Apollos had not been taught in detail about was all he knew was the preachings. I think this man was a product of the ministry of John the Baptist. And so because of that, he learned a lot from the forerunner of Christ, but he needed to be perfected in his knowledge, especially in this matter of baptism. And so we see that he was willing to be instructed. Now, let me give you number 8 here. How can I increase my boldness? Increase your Bible knowledge by personal study and careful attention to Bible preaching and teaching. Increase your Bible knowledge by personal study and careful attention to Bible preaching and teaching. Let me just share this with you. You'll see some this in a new Christian. One of the reasons it's hard for them to witness is they feel like, you know what, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. And okay, even if I had memorized the plan of salvation, what if they asked me a question? You know, you ever felt that way? And the more that you learn about the Word of God, the more bold you will be in your presentation of this plan of salvation, and the less intimidated you'll be if somebody asks a question. And so study the Bible. Study the Bible for yourself. Come to church. Sit under the teaching and preaching of the Bible. Learn everything you can. The more mighty you become in the Scriptures, the more bold you'll become in your witness. And it just kind of goes hand in hand. You know, if have any of you ever, maybe in high school or if you went to college, was required to give a oral book report or some type of oral report? And perhaps you procrastinated. Nobody's ever done that, have they? Not with homework, come on. And but you procrastinated in your research, you procrastinated a little bit in your study, and kind of you did one of those late night, the night before, real quick, not really in-depth study on the subject that you're supposed to stand up and be an expert about the next day. And I can guarantee you, folks, you probably did not stand before that class and that teacher with a whole lot of boldness. You're probably very timid and fearful in your presentation, because the honest truth is you didn't know a whole lot about what you were talking about. You were going to get up there and just try to bluff your way through it. And you know what? We all start there when it comes to the knowledge of the Scriptures. And, you know, we get saved and we begin to learn. And early on, maybe it is a little bit more difficult for us to be bold in our presentation. But that's why it's important that you become a student of the Bible. I'm not going to say this because it's not, the honest truth is, I'll probably happen this week if I say that it won't, but it's been a long time since somebody that I've witnessed to asked me a Bible question that I couldn't not only give them a Bible answer, but flip to the Scriptures and show them what the answer was. But I wasn't there 25 years ago, And so one of the things that's made me more bold in my witness is just to study the Bible. Now, I'm not telling you not to witness until you become an expert on the Bible, or none of us would ever be a witness, because nobody's an expert in the Bible, especially those of you that think you're an expert in the Bible. I'll tell you how you know, figure out the people who know the Bible, that really know the Bible. They're the ones that will tell you right off the bat that they've spent a lifetime studying it and hardly scraped the surface. Because you can spend your life studying this book, and you know what? The honest truth is, we're going to stand before God really ignorant of what we could have learned. But the more that you do learn, it is going to help you in your boldness and your presentation. And so here is Apollos. And so he was mighty in the scriptures. And I think that that translated into his willingness to speak boldly in the synagogue. Listen, if you're going to go to the synagogue, okay, let's go to Israel today and do that. You're going to go to the synagogue and you're going to take the scriptures and preach Christ. In the synagogue are men that have spent a lifetime studying the Old Testament scriptures. They're going to challenge what you believe. And the reason that Apollos could walk in there and be bold in his presentation is because, you know what? He knew the scriptures. He could take the Old Testament scriptures, which is what they had at this time, the Old Testament scriptures, and he could preach Jesus to them. He could start in Genesis and go through the Old Testament and present the Messiah and the proofs that Christ was the Messiah and the fulfilled prophecies, and he was eloquent in the scriptures. Now, folks, we're fortunate. We've got Old and New Testament, and we ought to be mighty in the scriptures in this matter of presenting the gospel. So learn everything that you can. You say, preacher, I'm kind of beginning in all of this. Then, man, show up to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Learn, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Study things. Preacher, what if I'm out witnessing and somebody does ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Let me help you with that, okay? Don't try to bluff your way through if you don't know the answer. Don't try to make something up if you don't know the answer. One of the things that I've learned in life is if I don't know the answer to the question, you know what I say? I don't know. Every once in a while I'll get asked a question. I'll say, you know what? That's a great question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that. But if you'll give me a little bit of time, and treat people's questions respectfully. Have you ever tried to kind of give an answer to a question, and then later on when you had time to think about it and really meditate on it and maybe study it, you realize that you could have given them a much better answer if you would have just said, tell you what, it's Sunday, I'll see you again on Wednesday night. Give me a little time to study that out. I want to look at some scriptures. I want to make sure that I give you a proper answer, a good answer. I do that to this day. People come to me and they ask me a question and I'm not 100% sure, or I'm vague on it. It's been a while since I've studied it. I want to make sure I help them. I want to give them a Bible answer to that question. And so the more that you study the Bible, you're going to see that it affects your boldness. Now let me have you go to Philippians chapter 1. Is this a help to you? Philippians chapter 1. And I want to read a verse in Philippians chapter 1 that also teaches us one more principle, and then we'll call it a morning, and we'll dismiss and get ready for our morning service. But I would really challenge you to do this. This is one of the things that I came across when I was doing this study for my own sake, doing my study and wanting to learn to be bolder in my presentation of the gospel. This is one of the verses that I was drawn to in that study. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, verse number 14. The Bible says this, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, one of the things that you notice that Paul gives testimony to here was this. He said, you know what? When they saw and heard of my boldness and what I was willing to suffer for the name of Christ, it emboldened other believers to take stands and be more bold in their presentation of the gospel. Now I want to give you something very practical here. Number 9 in our series principles here. Read biographies of courageous Christians. Read biographies of courageous Christians. I will do this in just a couple weeks. Every summer, and I've always got a reading list, but I purposely, during the summer, I always come up with a number of books that I try to read every summer. And then fall and spring, I'll be honest with you, spring and fall are extremely busy here at the church. I probably do less of just reading for the reading's sake during those times. Winter, I always have a winter reading list, and I always have a summer reading list. But one of the types of books that's always on my reading list is I try to read biographies of great Christians. There's just something about reading what other Christians were willing to endure, were willing to suffer, were willing to do for the cause of Christ that emboldens me to want to be better and braver for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the books, if you haven't read it, that you ought to read, I think it got lost to this generation somewhere along the line, is Fox's Book of Martyrs. You say, "Preacher, I read that years ago." Well, man, read it again. Read it again. Find a good biography or autobiography of Peter Cartwright. I read just recently, again, Viola Walden's biography of John R. Rice. And I'm going to tell you something. You just hang around those guys. Well, preacher, man alive, wouldn't it have been great to be alive and be able to travel with Peter Cartwright? Well, you can't. You just have to read. I'd like to go to those citywide campaigns with John R. Rice. Well, you can. Just read. Just read. I'd like to go across the seas and go to the mission field with David Livingston. Man, that would do something for me. You can. Just read. Just read. You know, folks, it's amazing what's available for us that God's preserved in written form. And some of the things that we read, you know, are such a waste of time. And yet there's so much good material out there. And I've got a library that I've built up. You know, we have the book man come through every once in a while. I'll get a call on my cell phone. "Hey, Brother Jerry, how you doing?" I don't even have to ask. Next thing out of his mouth, "It's the book man." He doesn't even have a name. He's just the book man. "It's the book man. And hey, I'm coming through. And you got a spot for me?" "Yeah, come on, Brother Larry, we'll find a spot." And he'll go out there and he'll set up four or five tables and put good Christian. And one of the things, next time he comes for about once a year, you got to go back there and just ask him. Just say, "But I'll tell you what, you talk about a knowledgeable man." And not only has Brother Larry been a blessing to Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches in seeing to us that we get good reading material, but he has taken as a personal endeavor to find older books, 100, 150 years old, that have been out of print. And I mean at cost to himself, he republishes these books. And a lot of them are great biographies of great Christians. You know, one man said this, "Show me your friends today and I'll show you what you'll be a year from now." And that's pretty good. And the honest truth is, who are you hanging around? Well, can I tell you this? Some of the guys I hang around have been in heaven for a long time. But I still rub shoulders with them. I listen to them. I walk with them. I pick their brain, and I can do that because somebody took the time. Either they took the time to write some things down, or somebody else took some time to write some things down. And there's just something empowering about, I'll tell you, read one of these biographies of some of the, read a little portion of Fox's Book of Martyrs an hour before you go soul winning. And about the time you want to back down or not speak up, you're going to be so ashamed of yourself. You know, what are we afraid of? Is anybody, bus workers, soul winners, anybody in the last 6 months, you knocked on a door and somebody grabbed you and tied you to a stake and tried to put you on fire? We don't face nothing here. What are we afraid of? We've got great freedom in this country. And yet there were people that did pay those prices and still spoke up for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that it was a good possibility that those type of things was going to happen to them. And you hang around that crowd. Now, if you hang around cowards, you're going to be a coward. You hang around courageous Christians, and some of that's going to rub off on you. And one of the ways you can do that is reading good biographies. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to just teach some very practical things, Lord, in this study. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this study, Lord, to help us to do some soul searching and prepare us, dear God, to be better for you. Lord, every one of us, no matter what we do, and it seems like no matter how many of these principles that we, Lord, incorporate into our lives, we'll have those moments, dear God. Forgive us for them. God, forgive us for them, where we're not as bold as we ought to be. But Lord, I pray that we'd be better and bolder for you, braver for you in the weeks ahead. Help us not to just hear these things, but to begin to incorporate them into our lives. Bless us now, Lord, as we dismiss and prepare for the morning service, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you'd bless all of the services that will be going on around the property this morning, Lord. Bless them in a special way in Jesus' name.